Well, dear congregation, this evening we would like to take as our text the words that you can find in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And here we have a prayer of a man called Jabez. We read here, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Well, congregation, it's good for us here to come together as a church to pray for the crops and for industry as we did. Of course, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray daily for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And yet, as we come or as we approach springtime and as the farmers prepare to sow, we come to ask the Lord for his blessing and for a harvest to follow in due time. The reason we do that is because we believe that there is a God in heaven, a God who is able to bless and a God who is able to withhold blessing. And I think it's true that for many, maybe most of us who have only known what it is to have plenty of food on our tables and in our stores, there is this danger that we take this for granted, that we just assume that because this is the way it's always been in our lifetime and in our experience, that this is the way it will always be. But this God in heaven is a God who is able to bless, and he's a God who's able to withhold blessing when he sees fit. He is the God who has promised, as we said in our prayer in Genesis 8, verse 22, he has promised that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. And so this order that we see in the world around us is rooted here in God's covenant with creation. But this prayer, this need that we have for God to bless, extends not only to the crops, but to all of our lives, to all of our work and vocation. Whatever vocation, whatever calling we have, which includes you children at school, you should indeed view the learning you do in the home and in school as a calling. The Lord is calling you to learn and to be able to read your Bibles and to be able to seek him and know who he is. So the point here is we need the Lord and we need his blessing on all that we do. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, that is indeed what we acknowledge. We're saying, yes, Lord, we need material things. We need food, we need drink, we need clothes, we need these things. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, we are also acknowledging we need his spiritual blessing. We're acknowledging that we can actually have these things, these blessings, and yet not have the blessing of the Lord upon them. So it's not just that we want these things, but especially we want the blessing of the Lord upon these things, upon our work. Remember what Jesus says, children, in the Sermon on the Mount, words I'm sure that you know. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, here, right tucked away in the beginning of these chapters of 1 Chronicles, we have this man called Jabez, and we have his prayer. And in one way, we don't know a lot about this man, Jabez. There's not a lot mentioned about him. In fact, this is the only time in the Bible that we read about Jabez. And so, in one way, we don't know that much about him. And yet, in another way, in these two verses, we're actually told a lot about this man, Jabez. What we learn from Jabez and his prayer is this, that the blessing of the Lord is essential to a true and proper enjoyment of the blessings of this life. The blessing of the Lord is essential to a true and proper enjoyment of the blessings of this life. Let's firstly look here at Jabez's gracious character. Notice verse 9. Jabez, we're told, was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. The name Jabez means sorrowful, or pain, or grief, or something like that. And so the mother here is saying, because I bore him in sorrow and in pain. Now, that's true for all mothers, as all mothers know. To bear a child involves great pain. And yet it would seem here then that there was especially great pain in this birth. There was something unusually painful, we might say. Some people take from this that perhaps the mother of Jabez almost died because of this childbirth. Remember, you have Rachel some years before this, and Rachel gives birth to the boy who would be called Benjamin, but remember that she calls him before his dad calls him Benjamin, she calls him Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow, and then Rachel dies. And that happens, sadly, children. Sometimes, certainly in the past, mothers would sometimes die in childbirth. And all of that reminds us, doesn't it, of the fall. It brings us back to what God said right at the very beginning. Remember, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord comes to Eve and he says, because you have done this in sorrow, he could almost have said in Jabez, in grief, in pain, in sorrow, you will bring forth children. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so there's the curse has come because of our fall, has come upon childbearing. And so you have a mother here who's calling her son Jabez sorrow because of this pain, this sorrow, this grief that she has in childbearing. But of course, the curse also extends to work. And so God said something to Adam as well, didn't he, children? He also said to Adam that cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow, so in Jabez, in sorrow, you will eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it will bring forth to you, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat. So the Lord is still giving work, and that is a blessing. and he's still giving children, and that is a great, great blessing. But all of these things have Jabez. All of these things have sorrow because of the fall. And with work, what the Lord is really saying to Adam is, you know, there will be frustration. It's going to be hard. It's going to involve sweat. And so there's a blessing in the fact we can still work, but there's also the shadow of the fall that comes upon it. And so the whole creation is groaning. Because of our fall, we have no more rights. We have no right for food. We have no right to work in ourselves. But God, in his kindness, is giving us these things. He's giving us work. He's giving us children. He's making the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He is, in the words of Psalm 145, good unto all. But all of this highlights our need for his blessing. The fact that in sorrow, mothers bring forth children, the fact that in frustration, we often have to work, reminds us that we need God. We need his blessing. We need the Lord in our relationships. We need the Lord for our children. We need the Lord for our work. We need the Lord for our church. We need the Lord for ourselves. Well, here's Jabez, and we're told about this boy who grows up to be a man, Jabez, who means sorrowful. Look at what it says about him now. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He was more honorable than his brethren. And now the question is, you know, what does this mean? How is Jabez better? How is he more honorable than his brothers? Well, some people say it's his wealth. That's the idea of honor, means you've accumulated wealth. Some say, well, it's his military exploits. Maybe Jabez was a warrior, and he fought battles, and he won battles. People suggest that because of his prayer that the Lord would enlarge his coasts. So he's by his fighting, he's winning these battles, and the Lord is enlarging his coasts. There is a city in the Bible with the name Jabez. Perhaps some say the city is named after him. Imagine you had a city named after you. Well, this would make you more honorable than others who don't have a city after their name. The Jews said that Jabez was a great teacher. He was very, not just clever, but he knew the Bible, and he taught people the Bible, and so he was a great teacher of the law and had a great reputation. Why was Jabez more honorable than his brethren? Surely from this passage, the answer is not his wealth, is not his military power or prowess, is not his reputation as a teacher. Surely from this passage, his honor is this, that he is a man of prayer, that he is a godly man. And that surely is the thing, boys and girls, for you too, as well as for all of us older ones, that is the great thing. It's not to have lots of money. It's not that people would think great things about you. It's not that you would be strong and be able to win battles. What makes a man, a woman, a boy, a girl great, more honorable, is that they would be men, women, boys, girls of prayer, godly men and godly women. That's where true greatness is found. Matthew Henry writes, "The way to be truly great is to be truly good and to pray much." And so the greatness of any person, the greatness of any home, the greatness of any family, the greatness of any church is surely to the extent to which that house is a house of prayer. Well, this is Jabez's gracious character, but let's look now at his prayer. And it is short, but it is God-centered. He is calling upon the God of Israel, and he is making his request to him. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thou wouldest enlarge my coasts, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. God is in his thoughts. Now here's a man then who, according to others, has lots of money, great wealth. Here is a man who has a great reputation. Here is a man who possibly has a city named after him. But what makes this man more honorable than his brethren is that here is a man who seeks the Lord God of Israel with all his heart and soul. It's a person who is praying, verse 10, and calling upon the God of Israel. He has the right God. He has the only God. And just as we should never take for granted the fact that there is food on our table and food in our stores, we should never take for granted the fact that you have been brought up hearing about the one living and true God, that you call upon this God, that you have been baptized into the name of this God. He is the only God. This is the God who sees because he created the eye. This is the God who hears because he created the ear. This is the God who can do things and all things because he created the hands and the feet. He is not like the gods of this world. And so he's calling upon the living covenant God who has promised to bless, to provide, to protect, and he's calling upon the God who answers prayer. Now, Jabez is, he is absolutely dependent on God. He needs God. And there's a question for you, for me, for all of us. Do you need God? When you go to school in the morning, when you do your lessons in the morning, do you need God? When you go to your work, do you when you begin your day, do you need God for what you're doing? Here is a man who needs God. You know, sometimes we think we pray when we really need something. When something terrible happens, perhaps, that then we really pray. There's, you know, when something, you read of Job in the Bible, and the awful things that happened, and then you're going to pray, then you're going to cry out to God. But look at Jabez. Here's a man who, in many ways, is the opposite of Job. Here's a man who is blessed. Here's a man who's more honorable than his brethren. Here's a man who has a city named after him. Here's a man who is a teacher and has a reputation. Here is a man who has great wealth. Here is a man who has medals of war. Here is a man that this world would say he has everything, and yet here is a man who is praying earnestly to God. Listen to him. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. It's a way of saying, oh, that in blessing you would bless me. And there's submission in it too. The word oh in Hebrew could also be translated if. It's as though he's saying, if you will bless me, if you will be God to me, then I take my place as your willing servant. And again, is this our prayer? Let's face it and be honest. The Lord has blessed us all with the good things of this life. We live easily in the top 1% of this of the world's history in terms of affluence. All of us do. But is this our prayer? Is this our need? Oh Lord, what I desperately need is your blessing. What I desperately need is your blessing. I need it for myself. I need it for my family. I need it for my children. I need it for my brothers. I need it for my sisters. I need it for my parents. I need it for my family. I need it for my school. I need it for my church. Oh, he's given me so much, the Lord. He's been so kind and so gracious and so good to me, but I need him as much now as ever I have done. Here's a man who we would say has everything, and he is earnestly saying, Lord, bless me in blessing me. I need your blessing. I cannot be without it. It's earnest prayer. And then he prays that the Lord would enlarge his coasts. It's really, you know, in our language, children, it's, you know, give me more. Give me more. Enlarge my coasts. Now, this is the opposite of the man that you read about in Luke 12, who's called the rich fool. He says, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But there's a difference between that man and this man. Jabez is not the rich fool. Because Jabez is, we have to remember when Jabez is. Jabez is one of the first people to come into the promised land. He's from the tribe of Judah. We read about there in 1 Chronicles 4, and he's coming into the promised land, and the Lord has promised in Exodus and Deuteronomy that you are to cast the Canaanites out. This is the land of promise, and you're to cast the Canaanites out. You're to take over the land I promised to Abraham. And what Jabez is praying then is he's saying, Lord, do what thou hast said. Enlarge our coast. Give us the land. Give us the promise. He's pleading the promises. He's pleading God's word back to him. And here's a man then who's not being lazy. He says, well, you know, God's promised me this, so I just sit back and wait for it. No, God's promised it, so we pray earnestly for it. He's longing for it. He's pleading for it. And you know that the land, the promised land, is a picture of sanctification. It's a picture of the life of the Christian. And you apply this spiritually then. You know, what Jabez is praying and what we ought to pray is, Lord, let there be an increase in grace. You know, increase our faith. Give us more grace, Lord. Give us more spiritual blessing. Give us more brokenness of heart. Give us more prayer. Give us more fighting and putting sin to death by the grace of the Spirit. Give us more of the armor of God whereby we will stand in the evil day. Help us to fight the enemies. Help us to enlarge the coast. Help us to gain more. More grace, more holiness, more love for God, more love for his word, more love for his people, more love for those who don't have him. Enlarge my sanctification. Enlarge my heart. That's what the psalmist prays. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou hast enlarged my heart. Give me greater desire. Give me greater love. Give me greater longing. Give me greater hope and faith and charity. Lord, increase our faith. Enlarge our coasts. And in it, he's also saying, and enlarge our influence for good. What a prayer this suddenly becomes. Not just for myself, that I would be more holy. That we would say with McChain, Lord, make me as holy as a sinner saved by grace can be. But also in my family, Lord, enlarge our coasts. Lord, save our children. Lord, save our families. Lord, add to the number of those who truly are your own people by grace. Oh, Lord, enlarge our coasts. May there be more tongues that sing your praise. May there be more cries that go up to heaven from underneath our own roofs. And in our church, O Lord, enlarge our coasts. Enlarge our influence. Enlarge our witness. Enlarge the numbers of those who hear the sound of the gospel. Enlarge the number of people who come and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Enlarge the number of people who will say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so in our neighborhood, in our city, in our country, enlarge our coasts. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that makes us ask the question, but how? These are great things we're asking for. These are not things that we can do. We can't add to our own sanctification. We can't add to our own desires. We can't save our own children. We can't save the people around us. How do you do this? Well, notice what he prays next. That thy hand might be with me. For God to be with someone is for God to help and for God to fight. Oh, that God would be with us at work, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, as a father. Oh, Lord, that thy hand would be with me. As a mother, O Lord, that thy hand would be with me to help me, to give me the wisdom and the words and the example I need to be to my children at school. Oh, that thy hand would be with me so that I would set a good and a godly example before my students, before my friends, so that when friends come and maybe try to pull me away from doing what's right, O Lord, that thy hand would be with me, that I would set a good example, that I would set a godly example to others, that I wouldn't just follow the crowd, but that thy hand would be with me, that God's power would be seen, that his grace would be there. And then he says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now there is his name again, that it may not grieve or really, Jabez me, it's the same root word. That keep me from evil, that it may not Jabez me. Now, evil here can be evil outside. It can be like a calamity, something bad that happens, but it can also be evil within. And we need this prayer, don't we? Keep us, Lord, from the evil without. The influences that come in. The influences that can reach us in our homes in ways that they couldn't 20, 30, 40 years ago, with the technology, with the phones, with these things. Lord, keep us from the evil that it may not grieve us, but then also the evil within us. Lord, keep us from that. We find it, don't we? This, you know, something happens and suddenly there's this stirring up of this evil within. And we realize that what Jesus said of the Pharisees is true also of me. From out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, wickedness, all kinds of evil. Lord, keep me from the evil. Don't let it grieve me. Don't let it overcome me. Matthew Poole says here that Jabez is saying this, Lord, let me not have that grief which my name implies and which my sin deserves. My name is sinner. Oh, let not sin, which is my name, overcome me. May your hand be with me. And then we read lastly that the Lord granted him that which he requested. Does that surprise you? Does this surprise you? The Lord granted him that which he requested. You know, really the whole book of 1 Chronicles tells us that God answers prayer. You read about it in all these kings, Asa and Jehoshaphat, crying out, and God answers them, answers them, answers them. And here we're told the Lord granted, the Lord graced to him what he requested. That's what the Lord does. He hears and he answers prayer. Well, here with Jabez, we have a beautiful picture of a godly man And really, if you look with me down through the ages, you see the beautiful man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a man of sorrows, a man of Jabez's. But was the Lord Jesus not more honorable than his brethren? Was he not known for his piety and his prayer? Did he not spend whole nights to God in prayer? Did he not pray, Lord, enlarge my coast? Give me the heathen for your inheritance. You know why you're sitting in a church building this evening? Do you know why there is any faith in this room here this evening? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ said and prayed, O Father, enlarge my coasts. Give me sinners in Canada. Give me these sinners from Holland, from Scotland, from all these different places. Enlarge my coasts. Give me the heathen for my inheritance. And the Lord graciously answers him because of the right that he has. The Lord granted him what he requested. Oh, what a wonderful picture we have of the great, honorable man, the Lord Jesus. Well, here's a prayer for us as we go into this new agricultural year, this year of work. Oh, Lord, that thou, make this our prayer, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Amen. Let's pray.